The second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is. Every chapter has a passage about the second coming. And of course, chapter 4, the beautiful passage on the upcoming rapture. But Paul now is wrapping up the book. And we will move on to the second epistle in a couple of weeks. First, we've got some very interesting things at the end of this chapter. But tonight we have another one of those shotgun passages. So last week we looked in verses, 13 to 15, seven practical ways to love one another. Tonight, seven steps to sanctification here in this passage. Very well-known passage, short little powerful truths in some of these verses that can literally transform our Christian walk. So let's learn tonight, beginning in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sanctify you wholly. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting in the middle of the week to open your precious word together. May the Holy Spirit now apply it to our hearts to teach us and grow us. And please guide us in your truth. May you be glorified in this time. And in a few moments as we pray one for another, Lord, may it truly be a special time of lifting up one another. In this short time now in your word, Lord, may you work miracles in lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So seven practical ways, if you will, to be more sanctified. That word sanctified, as you know, means to be set apart for the Lord. And you can't get any more practical than some of these verses, can you? So let's walk through these seven things tonight. Number one, if we're going to be sanctified the way God wants, we must have an attitude of joy. We are to go through the Christian life with joy. Amen? We're commanded. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Most of you know that verse. David, at one point, after he sinned with Bathsheba, what did he say to the Lord in Psalm 51? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But let's go to John 16 and see what Jesus had to say about our joy. And why wouldn't we, when we already know we have salvation, we have eternal life, heaven is our home. Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why shouldn't we rejoice? Why shouldn't we have an attitude of joy? Yeah, there's trials. That's part of life. Jesus told us that in John 16. But notice verse 22 of John 16. Jesus said, and ye now therefore have sorrow. He's just told them he's going to go die. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. We should never allow someone to steal our joy. Amen? Because our joy should be rooted in the truths of God's word and the blessings of our hope in Jesus Christ. And those things never change. Circumstances change. We can be attacked. We can go through fiery trials. But we should still have joy. And if we're going to be truly set aside for the Lord and sanctified, we need to go through this Christian walk with an attitude of joy. But not only that, verse 17 of our passage, an attitude of prayer. How many millions of Christians have been blessed by these three words? Pray without ceasing. Amen. How's that possible? When we're at work, when we're at school, how can we be praying? We can be constantly in an attitude of prayer. We can be constantly in an attitude of communicating with our loving Heavenly Father who has given us access to His throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know this is a scriptural principle all the way through, isn't it? David said in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray a cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In Luke 18:1, most of you know, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if we're going to be truly sanctified and walk the Christian walk as God wants us to, we're going to have an attitude of joy and an attitude of constant prayer. That in and of itself should be enough. Amen? But there's so much more. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, an attitude of gratitude or thanksgiving. How many times in the scriptures are we told to be thankful for most things? Let's look at Ephesians 5:20. It's not most things, is it? It's all things. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Wow. That means we have to be thankful for the trials, for the persecutions, for the attacks, for the problems. Yes, because we know they're God's will. We know that He has a plan for our lives and He's refining us and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. So yes, we're to be thankful always for all things. Have an attitude of thanksgiving, of joy, constant prayer and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Continually thankful. That is God's will for each of us. So an attitude of joy, an attitude of prayer, and an attitude of thanksgiving. You know what the opposite is of thanksgiving? It's complaining. It's being unthankful. It's not having gratitude. What angered God the most when as we study through Israel's early years, there in Exodus, what angered him the most? Complaining. Moaning. Which is the opposite of gratitude, isn't it? So, already such a blessing. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. If you're born again, you have the Spirit. We're told many times in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. God in the person of the Holy Ghost has moved in and indwells us, and He's going to stay there until the day of redemption, we're told in Ephesians 4:30. But we're also told in Ephesians 4:30, if you want to turn there, that the Holy Spirit who indwells us can be, well, this word is quenched. Ephesians 4:30 is the word grieved. In other words, He is God. He's holy. His name is Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. What angers, quenches the Holy Spirit? Sin. Because He is holy. So Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we are going to be sanctified, then we are going to be yielded to the Spirit of God. We are going to let Him control our lives. Paul said, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Of course, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with something until you're emptied of everything else. Amen? And by the way, that's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. So we will have an attitude of joy and of prayer and of thanksgiving, and we will be yielded to the Spirit of God. Paul elaborates on that in Romans 6, if you want to turn there quickly. Romans 6:11. But the Spirit is there. He's moved in. He's there to stay until we go home. But He's not going to grab and take over. And He's also not going to put up with sin. So He can be quenched. As in, when you have a campfire, it's time to quit and you pour water on top, that's quenching the fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost can be quenched. Paul said here in Romans 6:11, Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, or unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. There it is, yield yourselves unto God. Yield. Let him take control. Give way. That's what yield means. So if we're going to be sanctified, we're going to have an attitude of joy and prayer, thanksgiving, and we're going to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Let's go back to our passage, number 5. Despise not prophesying. There's no way we're going to be sanctified if we are not responsive to the Word of God. This book is filled with prophesying spoken by God's prophets. Amen? And God wants us to be responsive to this book. Most of us know James 1, but let's turn there. We'll just look at verse 25. Most Christians know 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. But here in 25, God has been likening the word of God to a mirror, such that when we look inside, it reflects back what we really are. It shows the sin in our lives, shows the areas that we need to be more like Christ. And he says there in James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's God's word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the work. That's the work of God, amen? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So we are going to be responsive to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, right? And hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to be sanctified, it can't happen outside of the book that God has given us, this miraculous book that is life-changing, that is our food. We're going to be responsive to it. And so when we read it, when we study it, when we hear it taught or preached, and the Holy Spirit uses it to speak to our hearts, we respond appropriately, whatever that might require at the time. So number 6, verse 21 of our passage, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That prove all things. Based on what? Well, based on the Word of God. That's all we have to prove things against is God's Word. It always comes down to God's Word. Look at Ephesians 4:14, if you would. And the Bible makes it very clear. God wants His children to grow up in their spiritual maturity, Ephesians 4:14. And that, in a big way, includes our understanding and knowledge of His precious Word, such that when we are challenged, we can prove that challenge against God's Word. But we know it well enough to do that. And that requires what? Study, meditation, reading, faithfulness to church, and so forth. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, it's not God's will that we stay children in our discernment of God's Word, is it? As we read in Ephesians 5, to discern both good and evil, those who have graduated from the milk to the meat. That we're not carried about with every wind of doctrine, but we're able to prove all things. We're grounded in the Word of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2 quickly, just two books over from Ephesians, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. See that word established? It means grounded. It means rooted, as it says there, in Jesus Christ. You can't prove all things if you're not grounded. And if we're going to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:21, then we're definitely going to be grounded in the Word of God, such that we can prove all things. So we're going to have an attitude of joy, attitude of prayer, attitude of thanksgiving. We're going to be yielded to the Spirit of God, responsive to the Word of God, grounded in our faith. And then lastly, verse 22, number 7, separate from the world. Notice it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. We're going to be separate. A theme all through the New Testament, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Ephesians 5:11 says, rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And we could go on, couldn't we? Where the Bible commands us to be separate. We just looked at it in a potato on Sunday, didn't we? Pure religion and the defiled before God and the Father is this. The last one is keep himself unspotted from the world. You can't be sanctified, in other words, set aside if the world has its clutches around you. You're not set aside for God, you're set aside for the world. So super practical passage. We've got our work cut out for us, amen. Just doing these seven things, that's a challenge. So an attitude of constant joy, that's commanded. An attitude of prayer, that's commanded. An attitude of thanksgiving, that is a command that we be thankful for all things. That we're yielded to the Spirit of God, that is a command. It's not an option. That we're responsive to the Word of God, that's a command. That we are grounded, that we're no more children, but that we're growing up in our understanding of God's Word, such that we can prove all things. That's a command. And lastly, that we are separate from the world. That's a command. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. We'll talk more about that verse next week, because it talks about that man being a triune being. So it's a beautiful truth that we have body, soul, and spirit. But for tonight, God wants us to be sanctified. He's given us some extremely practical ways for that to be true in our Christian walk. And like I say, even if we just did these seven things, think how far we could go for Jesus. Amen. Sanctify you wholly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and powerful word. Lord, you've spoken to our hearts in many different ways tonight. I pray that we would go home and chew on these things. Meditate on them, Lord, and strive to fulfill them in our Christian walk. Lord, if we need to get right with you in some of these areas, may we do it, not just assent in our minds, but in our hearts. We thank you for your kindness and goodness and love you.